Yes.
So
Sheriff went to be incarcerated today.
What he is saying is, until the time that the Crown Court selects a replacement, she's fully in the job.
Gotcha.
And then when the Crown Court takes it, then there'll be a new sheriff and he would start out. I was just picking on you about the boss.
Okay.
Okay.
Is you wearing this new shirt?
No, I had my Butler vest on and all that.
Okay, everybody, we're going to call the personnel meeting to order. The first item of business, I'm going to hear it. It's actually not on the agenda, but I'm going to put it first because we've got a couple of requests from the prosecutor's office. I do not have a formal proposed ordinance number, so we're going to have this discussion without one. And if these pass the committee, Ms. Darter can get us one drafted up. I guess the first one, we'll discuss these individually, Ms. Cruz. So the first one, if I can have a motion to put the victim of crime victim witness position on the floor for discussion. I'll take a motion.
So moved.
I have a second.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Okay. Ms. Cruz, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, so thank y'all for having me tonight. Good evening. So they're named about the same thing, Justice Kendrick. So
okay.
Which one?
It was the first one listed on your document. So the 3025 victim of crime victim witness, the receptionist.
Yes, very good. Okay, so years ago, before I was the elected prosecutor, when I was a deputy there, we had a full-time receptionist that was paid for partially from fees collected, and that has gone away. And so I think 2017, that position became part-time, and so we just kind of made it work. It's been difficult. She doesn't just answer the phone. She has a whole lot of other things, too. I listed to those here in my letter. But as caseloads have increased and we have more criminal courts now that are hearing cases here in Butler County, we've added to that job duty. So it would be very helpful. Right now she leaves every day around 2 or 2:30, and so we have a couple of hours where we all just take turns answering the phone, and she handles traffic that comes in. We get a fair amount of people who come in to pay a hot check, people who come in to file misdemeanor charges in our complaints department, mental commitments, involuntary mental and drug and alcohol commitments, which we've seen a pretty big uptick in those due to COVID, unfortunately. And then there's a lot of other things as far as case file preparation. So this request is just asking for that position to be made full-time. So certainly that wouldn't include the benefits package. And then the salary I'm requesting is... it aligns with several other kind of entry-level positions within the office.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So as we've heard with this one, this is taking a part-time position, moving it to a full-time position. We used to have that, and they got changed around, and now Ms. Cruz is asking for that back. Any questions from the committee for Ms. Cruz?
How many hours currently does the position work?
So right now it has to be just under 30. So she works about 29 hours.
So really the change is just the extra 10 hours, a salary bump, and then the benefits package that go along with it.
Yes, sir, that's
right.
That's right.
Okay. Where is this, since I don't have an ordinance, I can't really see, but where is this position funded out of? this money be appropriated from?
So, right, it's listed 3025 victim of crime / victim witness, department 428 to be reclassified, and then I have my whole budget here. That's helpful.
I'm just operating under the assumption this is a county general funded position.
Oh, it is, yes.
Thank
yes.
you. Okay, thank you.
I thought you meant the line number, yes.
So, is it a county
it would be to move.
You're asking to move it.
I'm asking, okay. Right. I'm asking to move the remainder. I guess that amount of money that's appropriated right into that. Would that make the most sense, Justice Kendrick, to leave it in that category?
We can pay out of two funds, but we don't combine county general with your funds. But we can pay out of two funds, like county general, to supplement it.
Yeah.
The 3025. That's what my question was. Did you have it in 3025?
So I think it's in 3025 now.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
So do you have the additional funds to fund it for a full-time position?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're asking for the other part to come out of county general?
That's correct.
Okay. And I'm asking this because they want me to do the work.
Yes, no, I appreciate that, Margaret. Absolutely, yeah.
So we can pay out we could pay out what she's got in there. I would spend that fund and then pay the other part out to figure out what that percentage needs to be. But I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. So I didn't realize. I didn't see your stuff this afternoon, so I
haven't. Well, I didn't either. Until this video recently, so I don't have everything either. But
I don't have any issues with that approach, Margaret. And then when we forward this, because we'll forward this for consideration if it passes to the budget process. And budget can take it and make sure everything aligns properly. Unless budget screams right now and says something otherwise. Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, would your recommendation be to forward this to budget next?
Yes, that would be the recommendation, is forward this for budget for consideration during the budgeting process.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make a motion to move this to budget finance.
Second. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Well, I did, but so.
Yeah.
And
that was unanimous ayes. The ayes have it for that one. Okay, so for the next one, I'll take a motion to put the victims of crime witness coordinator position on the floor for discussion.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second. It's also included. It's not in this packet here, but it was sent in an email to all the committee earlier. Ms. Cruz, go ahead with that one.
So this is a position in our victim services office. Some of y'all been there. The first floor of the justice building. These are the advocates who, by statute, prosecuting attorney, is to keep informed victims of crime throughout really every stage of proceeding in certain types of cases. The legislature increased that last legislative session to certain misdemeanor offenses too. So it's a statutory mandate and that has been increased lately. These are the ladies in the office who, every case that has a victim is assigned a victim witness coordinator. So if it's anything like something like a theft or a burglary or a battery, all the way up to rape, murder, real serious things. So this is the person that's going to keep the victim up to date on court dates and letters, texts, emails, sit with the victims in court. We have a lot of our victims who certainly come to a lot of the hearings, and some of these big cases unfortunately last a long time. So my understanding is historically there's two county-funded victim witness advocates, county-funded from Butler County. And then we had multiple on this federal grants, BOCA grant. And there's other organizations that are under the BOCA grant as well. I think maybe SOPPV has some BOCA grants and some other organizations. So we've seen there's been a massive federal cut. It's not unique to Arkansas, but over the last couple of years. several years ago, we lost a position in 2021 because the whole federal fund was being cut. I was able to absorb that cut a little bit better. It happened to be the year that Stop TV took orders of protection and began to handle those, where the prosecutor's office handled those. I don't know how long, but certainly the whole time I've worked here. So we just got our new GOCA grant award that, I guess 2 weeks ago, that would have started beginning of October. That's when the year would begin. And so we have been cut again. I will say there is going to be a bill, or we're hoping there will be a bill introduced in a legislative session where the Prosecuting Attorney Association is asking the state legislature, since it's a state mandate, to take victim witness quarters from across the state and make them state employees. I don't know if that will succeed or not, and so I'll be reminding everyone to let your local legislature know that that would be helpful. But the problem is that this is an extremely important position within the prosecutor's office and one that is statutorily mandated. And so we've lost another position now, and the funding will run out in January, so I'm an immediate cut. So I am here to ask y'all to fund that position, and certainly if we were to get help from the Arkansas legislature, then we would not need that anymore, as well as several other positions, two of which were our county positions. But in full disclosure, that's where we are. We were cut last year, too, and last year the governor had released, I believe it's rescue plan money, to cover that last bit. We've not heard that she'll do that this time, but the ask has been made. So I was hoping I would know the answer to that before I had to come to the court report, but we don't know yet. So that's where we are, if anybody has any questions about that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cruz. Any questions for the prosecutor?
I guess my question is a process-oriented one. The position currently exists, correct?
That's correct.
So we're not being asked to create a new position.
That's correct.
It's funded through a grant fund. I'm assuming there's a budget number for this position. You're saying funding will run out January, so next calendar year, correct?
That's correct.
And so, would this not be something that occurs during budgeting, or is it? Because we're not being asked to appropriate any money. We're not being asked to create a new position. I'm not super clear on exactly what we're being asked to do.
I think it was the assumption: does the county want to take over and own this position, part of which would be approving that as a full-time position that the quorum court, that the county budget would be funding and not necessarily a grant-funded position as it is now. So as a first layer in that, coming before the personnel committee, and the personnel committee is like, okay, we agree that we want to keep this position on in a full-time capacity, then forwarding that on the budget so they can see if that money's there. So
Right.
That was my assumption.
But we don't need to reclassify where the money comes from right now because there's money there, right?
Quick question. Carol, is this the one that's 1,0429? Because that's already been paid out of county general.
No. There's two that are paid out of county general, and then there's several that are through the federal commissions.
Where are the three being paid?
So I see the one in the 1,000, but there could be a tab or something missing.
Yeah,
The other two are the county. Like the 1000.0429 is one county.
That's just the one position very well. Mm-hmm. And then there's one position that's part time and 3025 ones. But I'm not aware of
another one. Yeah, I don't think they're attached to this. So these are DFNA administers this grant money. Through the federal grant.
So that one that Warren pays
is
okay.
That's
not sure.
Okay.
Because they're paid through another service besides through the county. And we do have two of them there.
Okay.
Right, but we have an accountant that oversees, because I also have the test for her as well, but over, and so she pays those accounts.
Okay. Yeah.
So then technically this would be creating a new position on the county books,
yeah,
then,
county
correct?
Books,
so
yes.
That's what we would be voting to support.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I understand.
Yeah, the position exists, but I guess who has the authority?
Not on county.
Right.
It's not on county books at all right
it's
now.
It's
really
a reclassification.
Yeah,
that's
all I'm trying to get at. I'm in support of this,
no.
Just to be clear.
They are considered county employees. They get all the benefits of a county employee, but it's paid through the grant, and it's paid outside of my payroll.
Okay,
right.
So that's why it's not coming out on this budget.
Is it necessary to reclassify now, or are we just saying we support it happening when it needs to happen? That's the last thing.
It's
I'm not
a
sure.
Personnel issue, so you'll do need to put it in so they can put it into the budget process so we can get a line item and
Going on. And so a vote in favor of it would be a vote in favor of reclassifying the position. Okay, thank you. Appreciate your patience.
Any other questions for Ms. Cruz? Any JPs or anybody in the audience? Okay. So I'll take a motion to forward the victim witness coordinator proposal to Budget and Finance Committee for the budget process.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cruz.
Thank
appreciate
you guys
it.
So much. Thank you guys.
So, Carol, I'll either call you or Serena and get the details to work with the rest of it for next month.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Our next item under new business is proposed ordinance 24-36, the salary increases for the library. Do I have a motion to put that on the table? Do I have a second? Got a motion and a second? Okay. Mr. McGraw, go ahead.
I'm doing this salary survey for at least 2 years now. I'm not super in love with it, so I've been trying to increase more information that you have in it.
Yeah. The Classic counties are not the same compared to each other. Lone Oak and White County are 70% the size of Faulkner County. Faulkner County is the largest of these Classic counties. It's growing faster. We've got 7 locations, whereas some of these locations have only 1. So none of this is an exact match. They also millage breaks vary from county to county too. So what I've tried to do instead is look at other things such as total staff expenditure per capita. We are at the bottom of all the Classic counties. We're below Lone Oak County. We're below White County. We're about all of our peer counties, the ones over 100,000 population, have roughly 50% more per capita spending on staff expenditures. Also, the level of staffing is much smaller at Faulkner County than you get at all the other peer counties. We have about 50 people, about a third of those are part-time employees. This is pretty much just looking at full-time salaries. That's what I asked the board to do was look at what the other Classic counties are paying for some of these positions. Do they want to shoot the average? Do they want to try to do better than that? And they unanimously put this proposal for you, which is really to just bring all these salaries up to what is the average for Classic counties. In some of the cases, Lone Oak or White County will not have a full-time employee doing these jobs, so they've been dropped off the average, and I've done sort of a tier of just the averages for full-time staff where they're comparable, because the part-time salaries in some cases are just dragging this down. There's a couple big jumps in there. One is for the assistant technical processor. He's essentially a co-lead in that department. He catalogs about half the collection. We have a physical collection of about 200,000 items and a virtual collection of almost 2 million items. He catalogs about half that physical collection. He's moved into management positions and taken on additional responsibilities as well with our volunteers, as well as our staff, part-time and full-time staff. What I'd like to do is make him a salary person making the same as the other cataloger, the other technical processor. He has been at this job for 27 years, and he's consistently doing an amazing job every single day. He's got a peer at Craighead County who has also been working for 27 years. She's making about $43,000, which is considerably more than he's making as an assistant technical processor. Also, my garden programmer just hired this spring. Garden programmers are pretty hard to find. Garland County just got one, but what I'd really like to do is reframe what he's doing as adult programming, because the people he's working with apparently are really adults. He's working in the garden, basically essentially teaching what used to be a skill that all of us had, which is how to grow our own food. And so I'm asking him to sort of realign his salaries, not with the other two or three garden programmers in the state, but with adult service librarians across the Classics counties. Most of this is for my frontline staff, all those library assistants that fill out the last like 10 to 12 positions, the assistant librarians, the branches, those are just regular frontline staff. For a couple of years now, I believe Justice Lahowski has mentioned that what I'm paying my frontline staff is really not sufficient to raise a family in Conway. That is a goal that has been living rip-free in my brain since the first time he said it. And here we are in year three, I think, of making these incremental changes.
Thank you, Mr. McGraw. Go ahead, Justice.
Question, just to be clear, all the revenues for all these positions are funded out of the millage for specifically for the library, correct? This is not county general money.
That is correct. It is a sequestered fund. I've got a sizable carryover. I just need your permission to send it.
And your board has already given their approval on this and debated the issue internally, correct?
Correct. And the unanimous vote was to send exactly what you're looking at right now before
you. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Any other questions for Mr. McGraw? Anybody in the audience have any questions for Mr. McGraw? Okay. Mr. McGraw, I just want to say thank you for putting all this together. It's a lot of information. I know it's a lot of work, so appreciate you doing that.
My pleasure.
I will take a motion to send proposed ordinance 24-36 to the Budget Committee for consideration in the budget process.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye. All those, any opposed, say nay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Ayes have it. Thank you. Okay. The next item of consideration on our agenda is proposed ordinance 24-40 for the grant writer position. Can I have a motion for 24 to put 24-40 on the table for discussion, please?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Administrator Higgins, go ahead.
So this is for us to initiate a new position. This is, should be a surprise. It's something we've talked about throughout the year. We believe that a grant writer position will more than pay for itself. There's grant opportunities that come across my desk on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, I kind of had to chastise the judge the other day. He wanted me to chase one. It's like, Judge, I just don't have time. I just do not have time to chase this particular grant. We're looking at potential, retrofit of this building, the facelift of this building. There are grant opportunities that are out there that I have been looking at to help save the cost of our ARP money. But again, it's a level of expertise that I don't have and that is a specialized skill set that actually takes these grants. So what we're asking for is for a new position for the next budget year. I have a job description I'll pass around.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, we'll have to negotiate within the budget committee about a salary range, but we're looking at somewhere between 50 to 60, 62. We have reached out to other counties to see what counties have grant writers and to other cities. The city of Conway has a grant writer. We've visited with the city a great deal to find out how much grant revenue that they're generating, and they assure us it's many times what they pay in their salary and their cost. So that, in essence, is the press that we're making. And by the way, this would be countywide, so the position would report to the county administrator, but it would be available to the museum, be available to the sheriff's office, be available to OEM. And by the way, there are various people in many of those departments that are working on grants, but it's their side job. I know Chief Woolley, and I've talked many times, and I think you'll support his time consuming. And so sometimes it's worth it, and sometimes it's not. But if we had somebody focusing on those to not only apply for the grants, but to track them and process them, to administer them when they're in the process. Any questions for me?
Thank you, sir.
More of a comment, just an observation tonight. I heard from the deputy chief and from the sheriff over $1 million in grant money that they've been working to procure. From our prosecutor, VOCA grant funding that they receive year over year that they're losing, unfortunately. But just here tonight, just two examples of substantive impact that having the ability to apply and write for grants can have on a county's infrastructure and needs. So just making a comment and observation there. I am curious to see how it gets, divvied out, but understanding that it will report to you makes sense. I appreciate your guys' work on this. I think it's a great move for the county personally. And look forward to supporting the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Pearson.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Any other comments from the committee? Questions? JPs or any other?
Just as a general observation, I've thought this for a long time, but I've been involved with Fulton County government since the late 90s, and nobody's paid me to say this, but our county government, especially our county judge's office, is running better now than I've ever seen in my entire life, or my entire experience. And a lot of it's attributed to Randy and our judge. I mean, they are doing a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Schott. Okay. No, I think this is a great position. I know we've talked about this quite a bit in depth, and it's been one of those that I've had my eye on for a while. So I think this is a great thing for the county, and I will take a motion to forward this to budget finance.
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor for forwarding the grant writer position to budget and finance, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, next up on our list, I'll take a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-41 on the table for a veteran service officer. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Go ahead, Administrator.
So we're going to take a little bit of a different approach on this one. Number one, the court did an awesome job in approving our Veteran Service Office upgrade last year. It has really taken on a life much more than we anticipated. The new office that we have remodeled and everything is doing great there. But we've created our own monster. And our monster is we're doing such a good job that people who would not go to our VSO office are not only coming to our VSO office, but are recommending that their veteran brothers and sisters come, even to some point, even outside of the county. So before, many of our veterans would go to the VA in Little Rock, and they would tell them, yeah, you probably need to go to Pulaski County, or maybe even to Polk County, which has a good reputation. And now they're just saying, no, you need to go to Faulkner County. That's where they're taking care of you. The issue that we're having right now is that we have Mr. Allen under contract, who's working part-time, and then we have Terry Hooten working full-time. And And Jerry and I had worked up kind of an operational plan to not only help grow the opportunities that we have and to work with our veterans and to provide them. And I've given reports of the success of our VSO office. Hundreds of thousands of dollars we've been able to help our veterans get that they deserve to working through the process. But now the backlog is so much that Terry, at last report, when I talked to him last week, he estimated he's about 2 months behind. So if somebody calls tomorrow wanting to come see Terry who has issues, they're having to wait 2 months. And that is a direction that we do not want to go at all. That's, we're actually going backwards to the point where we've exceeded our ability to deliver in a timely fashion. So we've kind of spoiled our veterans to where before it was taking a long time. We streamlined that. It's really done well, but we've been so successful that it's now backing back up. Now, here's the ask that we have. I'm asking it from the personnel committee to approve a full-time position, but in all honesty, I'm not sure by the time we get to the budget process that I'm going to stick with that, and here's why. We had some money left over in our professional services in the county judge's office that we're not planning to use for the rest of the year, and the reason for that is we had some professional services. We use that on architects and vendors and all that kind of stuff that we're actually using on ARP money for. So we're not having to use the general fund money for that. So we have some money. I've authorized Terry to go ahead and hire a part-time person for the rest of the year to come in 2 or 3 days a week and help him get caught up. We don't know for sure if the part-time help will be enough or not, but by the time we get to the budget process, I should have a better feel of whether we need to hire a part-time person for next year or a full-time person for next year. So instead of doing the dance, what I'm asking for is, if you guys would give me a part-time position, when I get into the budget process, I'll either ask for full-time money or part-time money. We can discuss it then, and then we'll know for sure which direction you want to go. I hope I didn't confuse you, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Administrator Higgins. Any questions from the committee?
I would. I'd like to say that I think it's needed. It brings money into the community, but to me the bigger issue is that when a veteran goes to the VA after they're discharged, it becomes an adversarial relationship. The VA is very adversarial with the veterans. It's real common. I mean, I know so many veterans that have just told me that they went to the VA and they just lost their records. They don't even find the records. In my case, it was actually 40 years after I was discharged that they finally found my records. And so I think it's very much needed, and I appreciate you guys putting that effort forward.
Thank you, Justice Strang. I appreciate your service as well. You know, one of the things that I failed to mention when I was talking also is that our VSO, Terry Hooten, does a great job of getting out in the community and visiting. He goes to UCA. They have a VSO over there to help and support them. He goes to the Veterans Museum. He went to visit French Hill when he was there to help get support and everything, but he is so backed up right now that he told me, I do not have time to get outside of my office. And that's really counterproductive because not only doing what he does, but we want him in the community showcasing Faulkner County and Faulkner County support for our veterans. So that's another part that we're trying to free him up to be able to do.
I support 1,000%. If we can prioritize taking care of animals, and I support that, we can take care of our veterans at a minimum.
Yeah,
I support 1,000%.
Just to be clear, I did get a little confused. You're just asking for the head count. You'll determine the part-time, full-time at a later date.
That's correct. When we go through the budget process, that's when I'll fine-tune it, whether full-time or part-time. But I guess I'm asking for a full-time, and I may trim back
right
when I get more data.
Fair enough. Thank you.
I knew I had a window to make my request. I want to go ahead and ask what I could get.
Thank you. No, and I just want to commend Terry and the office and Judge and Randy. He does a great job. I hear a lot about it when I'm out and about in the community. I know myself, I've recommended sending in people regularly, so I'm probably contributing to the line over there so myself. Any other questions? Anybody in the audience have anything? Anything else from the committee? Okay. I will take a motion to send proposed ordinance 24-41 to the budget committee for consideration in the budget process.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Thank you, Justice.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Next up on the agenda is proposed ordinance 24-42 to reclassify titles and transfer positions from the sheriff's office. I'll take a motion to put that on the floor for discussion, please. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Go ahead, Ms. Woolen.
Do you mind if I sit at the table?
Thank you. Have a seat.
So what we presented to the committee is our annual salary survey. I had help this year with Lieutenant Raffold. And Chief Woolley assisted me with coming up with the data, and then I proposed and put together the resolution that was sent forward. It is broke apart by funding source, and so that way you can see how much money comes out of each of the different areas that we have payroll. So I know you'll have certain questions maybe depending on the funding source or specific position. But this is in reference to just the reclassification of titles and transfer of the positions. So on one of the things that we are requesting is, and Administrator Higgins might be able to speak a little bit to this throughout questions, but the PSAP consolidation is going to be occurring. And so due to that, we will no longer have dispatchers within the sheriff's office. And we have an actual department that is titled Deputies and Dispatchers currently. For transparency, in Section 1, we're asking to drop the and dispatchers off of that department title, just so it's transparent. Section 2, we're just tweaking the title of our training commander to training staff sergeant based on his current job duties and structure within our department. Section 3 and 4 have to do with the change of the PSAP consolidation and requirements that are still under our department for ACIC requirements and things like that. Chief Roy can add more information to that. Section 5, we do a inmate cost analysis. It's not always annually, but we look at the cost of the actual jail to determine how much it costs per day per inmate. And when we do that, it's easier to have all of the expenses related to jail only in specific departments. And that clerk position, it has evolved into helping our office more within the sheriff's office. Still has duties within the jail. I mean, I handle payroll myself for the jail and the enforcement side, but we're just asking to transfer it over to the sheriff department just for transparency purposes. And then Section 6, our COPS grant is now ended. Funding, this was our fourth year of funding, and we had to self-sustain that within the department. And so now to clear up payroll, so we have one less payroll department and just process things more clearly, we're asking to transfer those six positions that were categorized separately just over up to our department, which will, if this passes, just be called deputies and have them within that. So it closes out one of those areas, just cleans up budgeting purposes and things like that. So that's specific to this one ordinance. It's kind of just a sister to the resolution.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ward.
You're welcome.
Any questions regarding Ordinance 24-42?
I have a comment on Section 5 where she's got lined out a position code.
Mm-hmm.
I would like permission not to use the position code that she wants to transfer and use one that makes sense with the department she's moving into so they stay more consistent. They switch back and forth, and it makes things very difficult on my side, and I can kind of tell things by some position codes. So I'd like permission to adjust that position code. I don't know off the top of my head what it needs to be, but just one that makes sense with the department it's moving to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And, you know, one thing she did point out is paying people in the right place. Those do make a big difference when I'm doing projections for workers' comp for the year. If she's got them lined out, it makes my job on doing projections a whole lot easier than having to move them around and take them out of one and add them into another one. It makes it a whole lot easier on my side as well.
When I notice things like this throughout the year from discussions with Margaret or just different things that happen within our office, I try to make note to be able to clean that up when we do our annual budget. So just the little tweaks like this.
Okay. Do we need to reflect that change in any type of formal way, Mr. Chairman? Or Margaret?
Do you have a specific
code? I don't have a specific for you at this time. I can, if y'all will look.
Y'all can just work it out before a full court if this passes.
Yeah, I think, if that's okay.
Yeah. I think the recommendation would be we'll have a little asterisk, but knowing the county clerk is going to adjust Section 5, the codes within that section, to make it reflect more accurate what it needs to be. So I think we're on record saying that now. So.
I have a quick question. I saw that there's if you missed this, if you mentioned this, I missed it, and I apologize, but there's a clerk position in the jail that is no longer being funded. What's happening there?
That's the Section 5 that we're transferring to from the jail department up to the sheriff's department. And then we're just in the resolution request, we're asking to align that with our other clerk positions that we have within the sheriff's department.
This all looks really good to me. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of raises, yet a reduction in spend in some cases, that doesn't ever happen.
No, it does not. And I did talk to Justice Lahosky earlier about that. So when you look at the overall cost of our department payroll, we have multiple different payroll departments, but one thing that is occurring into next year is the PSAP consolidation. So in our sheriff's department, which is 0400, there are 7 positions that we will not be budgeting into next year.
Right.
And so that's why overall, and I'm just transparent, that's the way it laid out.
Oh, I see it.
But if you actually want to know the actual dollar amount, I can give you that too. I have that as well. But just to put it all together on paper, it shows a little bit better.
And it's great to see you guys absorbing those full-time headcounts from the COGS grant too, and keeping those positions on. That's really fantastic.
It's vital
as well.
That's
awesome. I'm full support.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Any other questions or comments from the committee? We'll open up any questions or comments from the audience. Okay. Hearing none on that, I'll take a motion to forward proposed ordinance 24-42 to Budget and Finance.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay. And I will take a motion to put resolution 24-07 on the table for discussion.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any comments on the resolution other than what we just discussed? Anything to add to that, Ms. Williams?
So I think I pretty much went over all of it. And like I said, I have done the salary survey packet was sent out by Chief Woolley, I believe, to everybody, so you can actually see the analysis of everything, why we came up with what we did for our request. And so, you know, you see the principle behind it. But I have done extensive research to compare, you know, apples to oranges if we wanted to go with this versus, I know there's been discussion about a COLA. If y'all have more questions about that, involve the conversation, but we a few years back, I can't remember how many, we set forth to say that we were going to present this annually, regardless of what the view of it was. So if our positions needed a request or not. So every position, I'm sorry, an increase or not, every position other than I believe 2 showed to need an increase to get them to at least the average, or sometimes it's even right under the average of what the salary surveys were showing against the class 6 counties. And so we present the full package for our whole department, not just for transparency to the county, but also for our employees, so that they know we're analyzing every single position within our department and that we care about every one of them. It's not just that we, you know, see this one more often and we want to ask for that one. It's not that at all. We look at it as a whole. And so that's what this package is. But like I said, if it's the court's preference or the committee's preference to go with something other than that, like a COLA first and then fuse this in together or whatever it may be, we can discuss that, and we're not against any other options. We just want to present this like we do annually.
Understand. Thank you. Now, a lot of work went into this. Thank you for doing all that. I'm assuming we'll forward this to budget, and then budget's prerogative is to look at that and to debate whether the COLA takes care of most of these or if there's one-offs left of that, but I'm not going to get into their swim lane too much on that stuff.
So I can actually answer that. If it's at the proposed amount that what I've heard tossed around, and I actually talked to Justice LaHasse about that a little bit, so we have currently we have 172 positions within our department full-time. And when the ESAP consolidation happens, we will lose 7 of those positions, so we'll be at 165. At our, if, I hate to even say it because I don't think you guys said it, but if, let's just propose that y'all did a 3% COLA, the 3% COLA would only take, actually, out of the 165, 90 positions would still be short in comparison to this. 20 job titles out of our 41, I think, job titles. So half of the job titles and two-thirds of the job force would still be behind. So that's why I'm saying we're open to options to marrying the two things together. I know that the court has done a COLA and then put the increase on top of that. And what I talked to Justice LaHasse about earlier was if you put the COLA in place, and then the amount that was shortfall after that for those people that would still need to be taken care of, add that to it, and what the difference would be into that. And so, because by no means do we want to get up here, because we know we're hindered by the fact that we have the largest payroll departments within the county, that in order to do any percent of COLA, it's a large impact for us, but the whole county as a whole. And so we don't want to hinder any other department from achieving a COLA for their employees either. So by no means are we saying we want this first and foremost, but we do want to present the fact that this is still going to leave 90 people or positions short compared to what the data shows.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Justice LaHasse, I'm assuming you're standing up there for a reason.
Sorry, y'all, look at me. I've never stood here before. I just wanted to try it out. I really visited Margaret the other day, and she handed me the packet that Miss Woolley had, and so I just called her and I said, I just see that most of these requests look like they fall within the 3% cost of living adjustment, and I'm just telling you, I call her and say, first of all, I'm one of 13, so I don't make these decisions by myself, obviously. But I, being chair, I play a big part in the conversations and everything. So I just say, if we can get away with the 3% COLA when we do that, can we see what it looks like if we apply a 3% cost of living adjustment to your salary increases that you're asking for, to see how many positions that will eliminate you asking for increases for? And then, you know, what are those ones that are not quite caught up with the 3% COLA? So that's the conversation we had. That's why she did a lot of extra work and put some extra numbers in there, just so we can see what that looks like. Because there's always conversation around, you give all these raises, well, and then we add a COLA, you know, and so we just gave 3% more than what we intended to give. And then we've done it in the past, but I wasn't a fan of it. Well, let's get everyone 3% COLA, except for the people who got raises this year, you know, because that seems to always be a little messy. So, anyways, I just wanted to explain kind of really what she was talking about and what our conversation was and all that stuff. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee?
I'd like to comment. I think it's ever since I've been on the court, it's always troubled me that these numbers, the wages for these officers are as low as they are. I really wish if we had a budget that we can increase those even more. I think in light of some of the raises that we've given to other people in the county, it just troubles me even more that these aren't bigger than they are. I don't know that we have the budget for it, but I'm all for passing this on to the county. I appreciate everything they do. So,
thank you, Justice Strang. Any other comments?
Ms. Warner, have you looked to see if your budget can even absorb this plus 3%?
So, what I did was this or 3% or putting the two like married together. So, I didn't do 3% plus this, of which I know we have done in the past, but to me, it's more cost effective and makes it more transparent in my mind, because if we do the 3% plus our increase, then you're giving even more so to a position, and not saying that they don't deserve it by no means, but we try to get our people to at least the average or right close to the average. And so if you do 3% then the increase, it'll exceed that, and then we'll be going back and forth. And so we're trying to level out, and so that's why I suggested that. So our budgets, based on my own estimate, I believe that we can turn in our budget that I've got prepared and add the 3% COLA and then the shortfall of these positions. But we are not given our projections, what we're available to appropriate when we turn in our budgets either. So I'm not going to say 100% certainty, sure. Yes, but based on the way I look at it, I believe we could.
The data that you pull for salary surveys and comparisons, how recent is that data? Is it last year's data? Is it this year to date? Or is it a little bit of a mix?
So what was put together before you were the chair by Justice Pickett was that we use the AFC salary survey that's put out. I believe it's usually put out around May, and so we pull that, and we use the 2024 that they put on their website, which I believe is the 2024 salaries. Margaret, is that correct, Margaret? What would be in the 2024 budgets in the other counties, since that was turned over to AAC?
I believe so.
That's my understanding.
Okay. So that's comparing our own current year's budget. Salaries to the other class six counties.
Okay. I'm just trying to think about, theoretically, if we're making these changes based off of last year's numbers or this year's numbers, and then talking about, because we may get to that point where this passes and then we back at that crossroads again of, well, do we even it out or do we do 3% on top of it? And I think what's important for me personally is just that, our folks are paid a fair wage for the moment, and then we're taking into account the increases in cost of living on top of that, which I think is just the House's point. So I'm just trying to make sure I know where the data is coming from and how relevant it is so that I can make a more informed decision. So thank you.
So when I looked at it, at the mirroring of the two, is what I like to call it, is if the 3% would actually increase that person's position salary to above what we asked, then we want to allow that. But if the 3% is going to be short, then we're asking to give that additional funding to it. So I think that is the best option.
But that's why I asked if you had looked at, could you absorb this plus the 3%, but you're saying you think the best option is do this, and then anybody that a 3% change wouldn't have brought them up to this, or do this, right? Because ultimately, your department, or what you're saying is you want to see what's in this packet at the end of the day.
Yes, and then if 3% exceeds this, then go ahead and allow that as well, because that's based on cost of living.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that makes sense as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think the only variable in this is that
3% is not a done deal.
Yes.
Could be 2, could be 4, could be 5, could be 3. You know, we just got to start somewhere and go from there. So that's really, I've just asked your committee to be specific on what you're passing tonight so we know what to do. You know, we know what you're passing so we can then run with it.
Any other questions or comments? So based off that discussion, I'm going to take a motion to forward this to Budget and Finance. And I think what I would ask is Budget and Finance consider this and compare the COLA versus these costs of living and see if the COLA will take care of it. And if not, we'll look at adjusting those one-offs to try to do that. So isn't that typically how we've that's why we've been working so hard to keep these COLAs in line so it'll take care of the vast majority of these, and then we handle those one-offs accordingly as needed. So that would probably be my recommendation. Comments, questions, concerns?
I appreciate it, Mr. Chair. So just from the sheet I have, and I think it's a little different sheet, right? There's a little different sheet, but it's got basically the same information. I think it just broke down a little differently. Is that when you look at the difference of the positions that aren't going to, if you lay a 3% on top of the positions that won't be caught up, the difference looks like about $95,000. That's between all the different funds. That's not broke out specifically between funds, but that's basically, that's the gap that I think Ms. Woolley is asking to be closed, is the $95,000. And that's this, let's see, if we look at the tables, that's like the third table. It's not the last one, but it's the second to last table. I'm just running that all the way down.
Just a comment on my part. I really think all these deputy positions, I can't believe they're below 50,000 myself. And these detention officers, just off the top of my head, it looks like those ought to be around 45. You know, I think the numbers are low there. I don't know if we can budget that or if we've got that kind of money, but I just can't believe these deputies are out there patrolling the streets for less than 50,000 a year. I wouldn't do it for that.
Thank you, Justice Strain. I know a lot of comments and discussion we've had on this in the past is the Sheriff's Office is very methodical on their approach to bringing these to the court because, and I agree with your sentiment, probably everybody on this list is underpaid and needs more pay because they have very hard jobs and we appreciate what they do. But it's also, there is a certain structure that the Sheriff's Office tries to keep. And when we go, if we were to meddle individually within these, making recommendations on what we would like to see and not what they necessarily recommend, then we would throw off that entire structure. So I would probably caution the committee to, based on.
We do have an internal pay scale that we also analyze, and I have that document as well. Kendrick was saying, if we did one off any of these to increase any of it, then it could possibly, but we could also check that if that was something the committee wanted to look at or the court.
So I guess back to Justice Lohosky, do you have a preference on the recommendation that we send to you for Budget Committee to allow you flexibility to take the COLA and then also the one-offs into consideration?
I don't know if I do or not. I just.
Or do you just want us to send this to you with a very open recommendation for Budget to take into consideration based on all the discussion that we've had?
Can I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
So I do have our budgets prepared with just our current salary option, obviously, which is what was told for us to do. But I do have it prepared to also apply a 3% COLA. And so what I was going to work on is putting the two together. So that way, if the 3% is going to take care of this request and then leave that in there. But if anybody was going to be shortchanged, putting that difference into the formula as well. And so if it is okay, I don't know if you really asked permission to, but I can prepare both because the budgets are formula-based, and so it's just a matter of just looking at those few positions within there. I can turn in both options to Justice Lahowski, so he actually can see both.
I think really just from the committee, I'd just like to know from the personnel committee, like this table here that has the word shortfall at the top, is that are you interested in funding, are you interested in approving these funds to cover the difference between what they want and what a 3% would get them to? Basically, is that what y'all want as personnel, is to cover that difference?
I was going to say, I think just from what we've tried to keep things in line, I think the top priority, if I had to choose one, would be ensuring the 3% COLA, and then going from there, working on the one-offs. And then even if we had to carry those into next year, once carryover came in, we could try to adjust those and take care of them. That's just my initial thought, just right off the hip, and I'm open to listening to other suggestions. But
budget would not probably entertain adjusting the one-offs without y'all's approval.
I have no problem with that, but what I'm thinking is, you know, if we keep doing this, we're just kind of kicking the can down the road till next year. At least it feels that way to me, because, you know, these requests that you put together are just really getting the department, you know, up to speed at where all the other departments are at the beginning of the calendar year. And so if all we do is just kind of try to get to these numbers through using a part of a COLA and then part of adjustments, we're really just getting to people to where other counties are at the beginning of the year. And then we're doing the same thing all over again. So, I mean, to me, I think what it makes sense, and this is why I asked if you've looked, if your budget can handle it, is, you know, let's get people to where other departments are at the beginning of the year, and then do the COLA, and hopefully next year we won't be asking for quite as significant of raises.
So can you absorb the 95K?
Well, I think from what you're talking about, and I'm just looking at the sheet that she handed out, her 2025 proposed salary is to getting them all caught up to this 2025 proposed salary. And then if we add a 3% cost of living adjustment during budget season, that would go on top of this.
That's what I'm saying, because if we don't, you know, other counties, you know, assuming they pass the COLA this year, when we get those books at the beginning of next year, they're going to be ahead of us again, and we're just playing catch up, you know, at least from a theoretical perspective. That's what makes sense to me. So that's why I asked if you looked at your budget, and, you know, I think it might be worth doing.
I can definitely look at that. I did not put it together to put it on top of our request, just based on just the sheer fact of how much money this adds up to be once you take out the mix of losing the seven positions. But because I do know, based on our expenses, just unrelated to payroll, we are going to have to increase some line items because of cost of goods and services. Our vehicle maintenance, for just one example, it's just increased sizably. And so those line items, I know that I need to increase them next year. So that way we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul within our budgets to handle those things that I know we need to expect. And so I definitely can look at that, adding it on top. I don't know that we could take our request plus 3%. I'm not certain of that, because that'll just grow this number.
Right, sure.
Well, I guess for me, you know, I would entertain looking at those numbers and see if it could work out. But if not, to answer just the housing question, I personally, you know, I do support making up that shortfall if there is any.
Questions, comments, concern, anything to add? I saw you were using your calculator. So,
Yeah, but it didn't make any sense.
So I think based on that, I'm good with keeping the salaries in line with the proposed salary range and survey. Are we in agreement on that with committee? If the budget allows for it. Okay. And then I would also say you can go look and see if the 3% throws everything out of whack, whether you could absorb it, and we will leave that up to the discretion of the budget committee, I think, for where we're at with the information we have.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to take on our request plus 3%, but I also need to be able to pay all of our bills. And so I just want to make sure that we can take on everything. And, that's just one of our hindrances we have because we have such a large payroll and also just expense based.
So Justice Lahosky, I think to answer your question, I think the committee, from what I'm hearing, is good with keeping it in line with the salary survey. I think they're also good with looking at the 3%. And if the 3% can't work out on top of that, trying to get it as close to the salary survey. But we also understand that budget's going to do what budget does, which is budget, to make it all work. So
you're just saying this is not, it's not a no from personnel.
Correct.
All right. I just want to make sure I got my correct marching orders from personnel committee.
If we pass this resolution, that's what we would effectively be saying, correct?
Do what we can.
Right. Yeah. We got a resolution before us.
Right.
We would just say we would support it. And
that
we support this resolution. Y'all have to find a way to pay for the resolution.
Yeah. You got the easy job. I'll make a motion to pass that resolution.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second to forward the resolution to Budget and Finance. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Thanks for the conversation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. That's all I've got on the agenda. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for the patience. Motion to adjourn. We're adjourned. Thank you.